We have looked at the 10 things the Lord does for us when we sin. And in each of these, he gives us ample opportunity to experience victory over our past regrets. All we have to do is believe. And this is where many Christians fail. Think about it. We trust that Jesus provided atonement for our sins by his death on the cross. We believe he was raised from the dead and is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. We are confident he is returning to receive us unto himself, and yet we can't trust him to forgive and forget our failures because we refuse to forget them. Why is that? And why do we let the enemy try to destroy us with these lies? Let's spend a few minutes today looking at some of the tools we can use to experience the victory that is already ours. So let's jump right in, shall we? And the last one. He removes our sin. He actually takes them away. It's to cart off and to relieve a burden. And guess what verse we find that in? John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who removes from us, as taking a burden off a pack animal, so that we don't have to bow down under this self-imposed guilt, but be able to stand up as his son, takes away the sin of the world, which happens to include mine. Now, I just gave you 10 truth statements about what God does with your sin. So right now, each of us have a choice. We have the scripture, we have God-inspired word over here, we have thousands of years of testimonies of other believers who have had victory over what we struggle with because of embracing this. And then we have what feels good. My rights, my wants, my desires, what I deserve. Somebody offended me. They shouldn't have done this. I'm really mad. You know, that really belongs to me. Stop, 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 stop. We have all that selfishness over here. And so therefore, because I'm like that, then God can't be like he is. So because I'm not like God. And so therefore, you know, I have to keep asking him to forgive my sins. I have to keep carrying his burden around. I have to live this defeated kind of life. I'm a 4 or a 5 or a 6 or a 7 spiritually when he created me to be 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000. So the choice is who we choose to believe, what we've always known and what feels good to the flesh, or have our mind transformed and changed to be able to believe what God says about us in the here and now. We don't fear death because we know we're not going to hell, because we believe his promises about preparing a place in heaven and he'll come to receive us unto himself, and where I am, there you'll be also. We know that when our loved ones die, they're with Jesus, and we have total confidence in him when it comes to that. But we don't have confidence in him when it comes to allowing us to live guilt-free from past regrets. Is that not insane? And I'm not saying insane for you. That's insane for me. I mean, that's crazy to live that way. And it's all because I refuse to trust him in the here and now with the guilt that I've grown comfortable to, with the same fervency that I trust him with my heavenly domain, even though I don't know anything about that. So the question is, how do we surrender our life to the Lord? We give him our past regrets, starting small here, fears and all that kind of stuff. And if you can give him your past regrets and get victory over that, then you can move to the next phase, is trust him with your current problems. Stuff's going on right now. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how the situation is going to turn out. I'm kind of overwhelmed with the circumstances I'm facing right now, and I just can't handle it on my own. Exactly. That's what the Bible says. When I'm weak, therefore I'm strong. That, you know, do you remember the old footprints in the sand thing? Do you remember that he's carrying me during that kind of stuff? I just have to surrender that part that wants to hold on to it and control it myself, because I don't trust him to do what's best for me. So, can you believe God's word? Can you trust him for just what he says? Can you mentally And emotionally, I'm talking about deep down inside where it hurts the most, where you live. Can you agree with God's truth about you and let everything else go? And if you can, even for 10 minutes, we'll make it simple here, for 10 minutes and receive victory for that, then it's possible for you to move on in greater time with Him. True? Small victories, small baby steps. It's not one of those deals that you're going to go home. And that's not true. I have no idea what God's going to do in your life. But my experience has been with me that it's not a one and done deal. It's a constant battle. That's why I have spiritual armor on. That's why I have this helmet of salvation, because Satan's constantly trying to let me not enjoy the joy and privileges of my salvation. That's why I've got this breastplate of righteousness, because he continually tries to bring out of my heart my unrighteousness. But I'm protected by him. And all I have to do is agree with God. And if I agree with his word and I have all that truth and foundation, then I have to go over here to what I'm holding on to and reject it. I am a former accountant. And with accountants, it's always debits and credits. And what they teach you when you first start out in bookkeeping is you get this little T formula. Put this big T on your paper, and one side is debit and one side is credit. At the very end, they all have to balance. Remember all that stuff? You know, and I remember I've viewed my spiritual life like that so many times. When I'm overwhelmed with something happens and I'm fearful, or I can't believe I've made this big a mistake, or I don't really know what's going to happen, and we let our emotions kind of get away with us, and, you know, we get cloudy and our walk gets a little uncomfortable. It's kind of times when you say, I prayed, but I didn't feel God was there. Has that ever happened to anybody? I stop and I say, all right, just stop. Stop. Just stop for a second. And I'll draw that formula out. And on one side, I will put how I feel. And on the other side, I will put the facts. Here's how I feel. I feel like so-and-so and so-and-so and so. And then I feel this and I feel that. I'll put all my feelings down there. And then I'll put the facts down there and I'll compare the two. Feelings are this big. Facts are this big. And you look at them and go, I have a choice to make. And the choice is, do I live by my feelings, which will almost invariably lead us astray? Or do we live by the facts and place our faith, because that's what it is. Am I placing my belief and my faith in the facts that we've looked at tonight, or in my feelings that just make me feel good? And that's how victory is achieved. And when you surrender yourself in one area of your life like this and practice it until you can walk in victory, it will give you the encouragement to be able to surrender another area of your life to him. And then very slowly, gradually, we'll say, that we'll be able to live more in his likeness. Amen? So, I want to close by just giving you one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And I want you to make it personal. Because if we truly belong to him, and we have the mind of Christ, and we truly believe what his word says, then things should change. We should have confidence in him to do exactly what he says. Scripture says, for you, I want you to put your name there. For me, Steve McCraney, was bought with a price. And I was. As a matter of fact, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world took away that sin by the shedding of his blood. And the price that was paid for me and the price that was paid for you is the greatest price paid for anything ever in the universe. Ever. It was the death, the torturous death of God's own son. That's how much he loves us. So you were bought with a price. If I'm bought with a price, then therefore, what should I do? What's my reasonable service since I've been bought with a price? That I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit, because they don't belong to me. They belong to him. I will yield my rights to my flesh and yield my rights to my wants and my desires and everything that I think the intangible part of me to him, because they already belong to him anyway. And if you can learn to do that with just past regrets, maybe just take one past regret and get victory over that, you will find that your whole spiritual life will change. Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. If you commit to taking one regret, or maybe all your spiritual regrets, your past sins or whatever, and deal with them this way with the Lord, Satan will throw this stuff up in your face almost every single minute until you get victory. And the way you get victory is this. If what I've learned is that I give Satan the tools to beat me with. If I worry about money and money overwhelms me, it makes me get my eye off the Lord, I'm always going to have money problems. If I worry about people loving me, then I'm always going to be at odds with everybody, just the way it works. And so if I can take Satan's attack and turn it into a praise, he'll quit attacking. So Lord, I'm going to totally surrender this past great sin or great regret or whatever it is to you and just trust you with this. And the next time you pray, man, the thing's going to pop right in your head. It's going to pop right in your head. And you can either try to fight it away. Oh, I don't want to think about that. You can't not think, like, please don't think about a yellow elephant right now, okay? You can't. You know what I mean? So when it's right there, I have to deal with that spiritually. And so what I do is I stop what I'm doing and turn that into praise. God, listen, I want to thank you for the fact that you've forgiven me of that sin. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't feel guilty about it anymore because of your gracious love and mercy for me, and I've surrendered my life to you. And you turn it into a praise time, and you will find that those tools that Satan uses trying to break your fellowship with him, he's not stupid. And if every time he tempts you in a way that used to work, but now you've turned it into praise and adoration from the Lord, he will quit tempting you that way because he don't want to hear it. Make sense? But it's something you have to get victory over. And if you do it three times perfect and mess up the fourth time, quit beating yourself up. Get back on the horse. Practice spiritual breathing. Stop what you're doing right there. Confess that sin. Lord, I messed up. Will you give me strength not to do it anymore? You're like a little toddler who fell down, and the father comes and stands you back up and says, yeah, let's take five steps these times because pretty soon you'll be running a marathon. And that's how victory is achieved, and that's how we learn to totally surrender ourselves to him. Amen? Let me pray.
As always, I pray this has been a blessing to you, and I can't wait to share with you tomorrow as we continue in John chapter 1. Have a great evening.